Excited to be in Missions Conference, and today's the first day, and but a moment it will be Wednesday evening, and we'll be wrapping it up and wishing it could go a couple more days. But I encourage you to get to know these special families with us, and spend some time, and if you can make it Ladies Monday, and gentlemen, if you can make it Tuesday, and invite everybody on Wednesday. We're looking forward to that. And but stick around service tonight, after tonight. Say, I'm not good at baking. Just go to Wegmans and get Oreos. That's all you need to do. And everybody loves Oreos. But we are, again, looking forward to the fellowship. But we are really looking forward to, the Bible tells us to bear you one another's burdens. And the Lord has burdened some dear families with us this week about getting the gospel to places some of us have never been. And we are thankful to have an opportunity to maybe partner and do that. And how the Lord maybe will touch our heart about getting involved in those things. And we good? All right. Give me a little more. All right. Good. But don't make it ring. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Maybe down a little. All right. That's good. All right. Good. All right. But we are looking forward to bearing the burden that the call that people have had on their lives, but also maybe where the Lord might touch us. And how can we get deeper involved and maybe refocused on the importance of missions and the evangelism of the lost. So I am glad you're here this morning. Ever tell the Lord no? Say, no, I would never. Ever tell your parents no? No, I would never. If you said no to both of those, we know you're lying. You could just be true. You're not fooling anybody. Maybe in your mind or in your heart, you have told the Lord, I will do whatever you ask of me, but this. Maybe there's an area of your life where, God, this part is off limits. Ever have the Lord ask you to do something, and you just said, not now. I just, it's not convenient. I was talking to a couple, and they were talking about having children. I said, well, we just want to get ready, and then we'll talk about having children. You will never be ready to have children. I want to get to a better place in my life, and then I'll serve the Lord with my life. Let me ask you this question. Are you too comfortable or casual around the Lord? You know, sometimes we'll sit at the table, and I'll be talking to the kids or something, and they respond sometimes like we're equal. Ever have a child respond like that? And hey, no, you don't talk to me like that. I'm your dad. I'm this or that. Sometimes we deal with the Lord as He's our buddy. Now, He's certainly kind and gracious to us. But what gives us the right to tell the Lord no? We have no right. And if He's working in your life, well, our answer ought to always be the same. Yes, Lord. Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. I'm looking forward to this week. We're doing something different this week. Normally we have a kind of a special preacher in all week. Say, did they cancel? Is that why you're here? No. We designed it this year with hearing the preaching of our missionaries. So each night we'll hear from a different missionary. Each night we'll hear the one that is preaching will be someone different that's presenting, and someone else will be singing. So each night we'll get a little touch from each of the families, and we're looking forward to that. But I'm excited about going first, so I get Isaiah 6 out of the way. So if anybody else is going there, well, here we go. Isaiah chapter 6. Love the Word of God. Love being in church. Love fellowshipping around the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll read the first four verses. We'll pray. And then we'll return to the passage. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So what's it look like? Exactly like how it says. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, again, thank you for these dear special families that you've brought to us today. And as special as they are, Lord, if you're not here, it's a waste of time. And Lord, we invite you into this service. God, I pray that the singing was done in a way that was pleasing and worshipful to you. And God, as we open up your word, I pray again that you would minister and meet our needs. Lord, I pray that you'd put a touch upon our heart, that we might for a moment see the throne of God, and that we might see our world as the field. And God, I pray that you'd give us the courage to do whatever it is to reach it for you. Lord, I do ask that you would again meet with us here. Lord, we need to hear from you. No one needs to hear from me, but we need to hear from you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I do want to remind you before we go any further that we have our new pledge cards for missions. And we'll be collecting those all this week. So if you could take one of those, pray about that, fill that out and say, oh, just keep mine from last year. We burn last year's. We get rid of them. We have no record of what you did last year. That's not true. But we want to start all over again. All right. And no matter what last year was, we're going to fill those out. And so if you could fill those out, and that's how we make our missions budget. So if you could help us with that, fill one of those out. Say, oh, it's just a couple dollars. Every dollar makes a difference. And so if you can do that. Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. And what do we see here? We see the throne of God. Who sits on thrones but kings? And here we see this divine royalty concerning the Lord. Imagine the view of this. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has given something that not many people have the opportunity to see. They see God sitting on the throne, and they're still alive to talk about it. Right? Now, we're all one day going to see God. One day we are all going to stand before God. We will all kneel and bow before Him. But here, Isaiah had the opportunity to see the glory of God in its fullest. I love that phrase, and his train filled the temple. Man, what's that look like? I have no idea. But I have an idea. There he is on his throne. A throne only for the King of Kings. And only for the Lord of Lords. The eternal God. Can't imagine what it looks like. I'm thinking it's huge. But how do you measure? How do you measure who inhabits eternity? And his train, it's all the entourage, all of it around. His cloak and his glory, it just fills the place. And Isaiah looks up and he sees it. The things he can describe, he says there's these angels, these seraphims, and they have six wings. And two of them are used to move, two of them cover their face, and two of them cover their feet. And that must be amazing. Well, they cry out one to another, holy, holy, holy. Ever wonder what heaven looks like? Yeah, I do. And when we read in Revelation chapter 20, we get a pretty good description. But this is something else. And here for a moment, Isaiah gets to see God for who he is. Not who he thinks he is. Not our casual friend. Not our buddy that we throw requests at. He gets to see God in all of his glory. Seated upon his throne. High and lifted up. And the Bible says, and His glory. What a magnificent sight that must be. The Bible says in verse 3, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Here we see the reverence of God. Not only the recognition of who He is, but the reverence. Proclaiming His holiness. I'm going to ask, does our life proclaim the holiness of God? Here we see complete and total and pure worship. See, it seems a little redundant. They just keep saying the same thing over and over again. I bet it's not redundant if you're looking at it. Holy, holy, holy. He alone is worthy of such worship. He alone is the holy God. Who is God? He's our Almighty. He is the Creator. He is the Faithful One. The God of glory, as Psalm chapter 8 says. And that's what we're looking at here today. For a moment, Isaiah gets to see something that, well, quite honestly, you and I have never seen. The Bible says just at the movement of the worship, at the movement of the visualization of the throne of God, I look in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 4, "And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Imagine this scene that he could view. I don't know how that worked. You know, I say, where's heaven? Well, obviously, it's on the sides of the north. That's what the Bible says. Say, where's that? I don't know. But if you go, anybody like to look up at the stars? Anybody like that? Anybody know about that stuff? We'll go out there, and if you have someone knowledgeable, they'll say, "See those two stars over there? Yeah, yeah. See that faint little dot next to that? That's Mars." You're like, "Oh, how do you know that?" "Well, it's this time of year, and this is where it is." And it's like, "Oh, wow, that's great." And you're looking, and you're like, "Mars, huh? See that little dot way out there? That's this. Oh, that's great." I don't know how Isaiah saw the throne of God so clearly. But he had this visualization. And the Lord showed him something special. And he got a handle on who God was. For a moment. Hey, when you meet up and when you meet God, your life will be forever changed. You can't see this and go, "Oh, business as usual. I'm just going to go out to McDonald's real quick and grab a burger." No, that's not our response when we meet with the Lord. And when God meets with us. So how did Isaiah respond? First we see the royalty of God, but secondly, we see his response. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "Then said I, woe is me." Hey, I just saw something clean. I just saw holiness. And he says, "I'm no good." He just saw something absent from all that is evil. And the perfect throne of God. And he says, "I'm a complete wreck." Ever read the scriptures and feel good about yourself? "Man, I'm doing good. The kids are doing well. They said yes, sir, yesterday, and yes, ma'am, and they did what I said. And they did. I only had to ask them 3 times to pick up their dirty socks. Things are going well. We're on it." And then you read the scriptures, and the Lord reminds you of who you are. And for a moment, you no longer are encountering with human relation, but you're encountering a relationship between a holy God and an unholy man. And you're like, "Whoa, I'm not what I thought I was." And the Lord has a way of correcting us like that. Revealing to us our frailty and our shortcomings, if you will. And he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. This is the prophet talking, prophet of God. And he says, nothing compares to who you are. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. He says, I'm a mess. I don't even say anything right. And I live all around people that are messes. Is that true? If you walked in here today and go, man, we got it together. You are lying. Y'all have messes. You all are a mess. So how do you know that? Because that's what the scripture says. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in a land of people of unclean lips. We say one thing and do another. And that's at our best days. Sometimes we don't even say one thing. Isaiah gets the visualization of the holy royal throne of God. Divine. Perfect. Sees the seraphim singing to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says, I'm unqualified. I'm going to go back home. I don't deserve to be here. I ought not to be here. Woe is me, he says. Not like Eeyore, like lost my tail again, but legitimately, woe is me. Why? What happened? What changed? Look at the end of verse 5. Because Isaiah saw something. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. How many of you believe every word of God is pure? The King James Bible is the word of God. If you're holding something else, I'm sorry. Because your scriptures might not say this. For my eyes have seen a king. Oh no. There's a big difference between a and the. He says, I have not just seen a king, I have seen the King of all kings. The Lord of hosts. And his eyes got a chance to see it. And he says, woe is me. And go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. This is King David. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. That's kind of like Isaiah said. Whoa. I just saw me for who I was. If you're familiar with Psalm 51, this is where David's sin is revealed to him. Was he unaware of his sin? No, he was very much aware of it before. He executed it perfectly. He had Bathsheba's husband killed, and then he took her for wife. Murder, adultery. It wasn't out of ignorance. He knew. But what happened in Isaiah 51? Woe. Woe is me. What happened to Isaiah chapter 6? Was God not always sitting upon the throne? Yes, but Isaiah just saw himself as God saw him, and he saw God as who he was, and he just said, I'm not who I thought I was. It wouldn't be bad for us every now and then to see us as God sees us, and God as who he is, to keep things in better perspective. Because sometimes we get a little squirrely in our thinking. We start thinking, we looked at this verse in Sunday school, we start thinking ourselves more highly than we ought to. Because I'm comparing me to him, not a holy, righteous God that's sitting upon an eternal throne. I'm good. Not as bad as him. No offense to Jacob. Jacob's a good young man. Feel like you're doing all right? Let's look at the throne of God for a moment. Let's look at the king. And Isaiah couldn't backpedal fast enough. He says, I'm undone. He says, I'm unclean. What was the last time you acknowledged to God that you're unclean and undone? God, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm a complete wreck. I need your help. The scene immediately changes. I like the transitions here. We saw the royalty. We saw Isaiah's response to it. It's raining. Who has the... I think your windows are down. No, I'm just kidding. Just a joke. By now it's too late. Here am I, Lord. As we examine the royalty and the royal throne of God, we see Isaiah's response to that throne. Just complete undoing. And then we see the result. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. We have a wood stove at our house. There's some things that I don't want to touch. A hot coal is one. Why? Because it burns you. Is that correct, Mr. Seaman? You have a wood stove, right? Hot. So I have gloves and special leather gloves, and I can stick in there and move things around. But if someone came and took a pair of tongs, right, and grabbed a hot coal and said, here, try this. No, not looking to do that. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Nothing like the power of the Word of God to reveal us for who we are and to also cleanse us. Man, isn't it good to have the Word of God that not only is our correction but our help? It reveals to us all of our iniquities, all of our problems, all of our shortcomings, to the point where it just completely breaks us down and says, all right, now let's move forward. And the power of the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, as we sit there and we get this view of the royal, divine, holy throne of God, I step back and say, God, I'm a mess. And He says, you're right, let's get that clean and now we can move forward. But we will never be able to move forward until we get clean. Well, won't God just take me as I am? He's going to have to purge some things. Thy sin purged. You're dealing with righteousness, holiness. If the Queen of England called you up and said, we would like to have an appointment for tea and cookies. Great. You're not going to walk in a pair of sandals and shorts and a t-shirt that says, I love England. No, you're going to find your finest suit. You know, chances are you're going to go out and buy a new suit. Ladies, you're going to get a whole new outfit. You're going to have to get pearls. You're going to have to get nice things. Why? Because you're standing before the Queen. And we think that God's okay with my sin. No, he's not. And here Isaiah is undone. He backpedals. I'm unclean. I'm a mess. And here it comes. Here comes the cleansing of the Word of God. That live coal touches his mouth. Thy sins be purged. The cleansing of the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to cleanse you, or else you will be a mess. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Choir sang about it this morning. We've read this passage before. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is many a times in verse 8, we don't even hear the voice of God. Hey, if God is dealing with you in your heart about serving Him, whatever capacity it is, I would listen to that call. I think everyone, just about everyone has a cell phone. And sometimes the phone rings and you look at it and go, no, decline. Anybody ever decline a call? Brother White, have you ever declined a call? Appreciate your honesty. Was it my call? No, I'm just kidding. There you are sitting at the table with family, your phone rings, and you take it out and you look at it and go, ooh, no. I know my vehicle warranty is about to expire. Thank you. What happens if the Lord came by and called on you? Can I dare say He is calling to all of us? That actually you would have to be some sort of exception for Him to not want you to serve Him? He desires this of all of us. He asks the question, to hear the audible voice of God, I can't imagine. Say, oh, I bet Isaiah was hit record on his voice memo so he could constantly replay that. Hey, when you hear the voice of God, there is no need. You will not forget it. And maybe you can go back to a church service or a time when you felt the call of God on your life and you sat in your seat and you held on tight and said, no, not now. But I promise you, you have not forgotten. Because when God comes by, it changes your life. And here, He sends out Isaiah. He asks the question, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I love our Christian school. Thankful for it. We have kindergarten through 12th grade here at our school. And about 60 kids, 58 kids. And each class has its own way about it. If I walk into the kindergarten class, they're still kind of nervous about me. If I sit in front of them, they're just kind of like looking. If I ask them a question, they don't know how to respond. They don't want to, they're a little quieter. But I walk into Miss Calipi's class and I ask a question and, you know, whether they know it or not, I'm not even done asking the question. Their hands are up. Right? Ooh, 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 call on me! Yes, Isaiah? I forgot. Oh. Hey, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? After what I just saw and what I just heard, please call on me. Would you be willing to send me, Lord? I'm just a mess. But the fact that I can hear you calling must mean something. So I'm willing. He says, here am I. Right here. Right now. Present time. Here. So I've made some mistakes in my past. Get them clean, get them right, and move forward. Because God wants to use you right now. Because today is the day of salvation. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 35, right? John 4:35. We're almost done. John 4:35 asks the question. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Right now. Right here. Right now. Say, well, oh, we need to get things ready. No, right now. Yesterday we had our Sunday school activity. I had the opportunity to teach a little lesson about sowing and reaping. And I brought in little apple seeds. And oh, how long does it take to take an apple seed and get a tree? Oh, you should have heard the responses. I do expect it to take close to a month and a half. No. It's going to take a little bit longer. I think we settled on maybe 7 to 10 years. Do you understand that the seed has been planted? Do you understand that the harvest is ready? What happens if we let good fruit go long? It gets bad. We need some workers right here, right now. Then said I, here, present, I'm available. Here am I. That phrase, am I, state of being, to be. The one being offered, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your what? Bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right now, it's me. The only one I can offer is me. But here I am. Here am I, Lord. I'm available. Presentation of oneself for the work of the Lord. It's personal. God is calling you. Say, well, how happens if no one else goes? You still go. I love this. It's voluntary. He didn't make anybody do anything. These dear families are here, not because they were forced to, but because they willfully said, I'll go. Hey, the work of the Lord is the greatest work ever. To be part of something that's eternal is wonderful. The work of God. Say, are there bad days? Occasionally when I mess things up. But I'm here because I want to be here. Here, these dear families are here. Why? Because they wanted to be here. Hey, you serve the Lord because you want to. Our staff in Sunday school, they want to do that. The work of God is completely voluntary. We are not forced in any way. He's just looking for volunteers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So what's the message this morning? Simply you raising your hand and reminding Lord, here am I. Could you use me somehow? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their, look, deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They were just willing. What made this passage so powerful? Say, oh, they must have had a great... They had nothing. They were in deep poverty, the Bible says. But they just said, we're willing to do whatever you want with us, Lord. Could we not say the same things to God? Could we not volunteer ourselves? The only person you can volunteer is you. And how about this? Here am I. Send me. To go from one place to another. To leave one place to go to another. Commissioned with a job. This morning I was working on some things and my computer was giving me a little trouble, and we got it up and running, and I had, because of that, you know, technology slows you up sometimes, and so because of that, I asked my daughter, I was in the hall, I said, hey, here's my computer, I want you to take this up and go to the office and put this in my office. She's like, okay. She's like, can you hold my Bible? Sure. So I take her Bible, she's like, can you put your Bible, my Bible, she's saying this, can you take the Bible and put it on top of the computer? Yes. Okay, great. Guaranteed, if anybody came out to her and said, hey, Sophie, can you come do... No, I have this job that I have to do. She was focused. She had something pretty valuable. My MacBook Pro. You hear that, brother? I want you to take this. I want you to go and get it to that spot. Yes, sir. Hey, we have this offer over here. Nope. I've been sent on a job from the king. Is there anything greater than serving the Lord? No, that's why Isaiah's jumping out of his seat, raising his hand. Hear me! Send me! Me, the one being sent. Matthew chapter 9, we'll look at two verses and then we'll be done. We're so thankful for these dear families, but you know what the difference between you and them is? Nothing. Nothing. We're all commissioned. We're all sent somewhere. We all have the message. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Isn't this a sad verse? But the laborers are few. Man, we got a whole field that needs to be harvested, and there's two guys out there. There's 10 people out there. Hey, behind here we have a 400-acre field. And if I gave these three guys bushels and said, all right, go bring it in, guaranteed the fruit will go bad before they get it all in. We're going to need help. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Would you be willing to be a laborer? Send me. Send me anywhere you want, Lord. I'm available at thy disposal. Every year we have a vacation Bible school, and I love vacation Bible school. Kids in here screaming, yelling, jumping up and down, maybe shaving people's heads, you never know. Pies in the face, dunk tanks, money given to missions, boy pennies, girl pennies. Did the boys win this year? No, they didn't. Girl pennies. Did we do a contest in Sunday school? Did we do that? Do we know who won? No, we don't know yet. All right. What is it? Today's the last day. Who's winning, girls or boys? Oh, good grief. But we'll do vacation Bible school, and I have a couple floating helpers. Say, what do? Anything I ask them. They just follow me around. Say, is that annoying? Love it. Because through vacation Bible school, things pop up all the time. All right, I need you to take this paperwork and run it down to this. Okay, they go and they come back. Hey, wouldn't that be great if we were just by the Lord, just in his hip pocket and say, God, when? Tell me what to do. Okay, take the message over to that guy right there. Okay, good. Then come back. Okay, what now? Go over there. Okay. What do we need? We need laborers. We need laborers that would be willing to just do whatever God's beck and call is. If it's to go to New Zealand, we go to New Zealand. If we need to go across the street, we go across the street. Lastly, pray. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And I'm going to ask you to do just that. Just pray. Say, God, there's a world out there that needs to hear the gospel. How can I be part of that? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to deliver it? Do you want me to send it? Say, I'm not sure I'm ready to pray that prayer. Then you haven't seen the King. I ask that you'd pray for our special families here. I'm getting to know them already and hearing some of their stories. And you cannot have service without sacrifice. I'm thankful for the sacrifices that they have made, but they're just like you and I. But would we be the ones this morning to raise our hand and say, here am I, Lord. You can send me. So I'm not ready to go to Africa. I don't want to go to Alaska. It's cold there. I hate the cold. I'm sorry, did you just tell the Lord no? I don't think that works like that. How about we just do whatever it is that God wants us to do? If it's stay, we stay. But we serve him no matter where we go. Lord, it says, Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers. Could we pray for laborers? Let's all stand. May we be like Isaiah, raising our hand high. Lord, Lord, call on me. Pick me. Would you allow me to go? Hear my Lord. Send me. It involves first the visualization of the royal throne of God. Number two, demands a response. But number three, the result. To be commissioned, to be sent. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation. And Lord, as we pray, God, may we be faithful in our prayer. God, that we would be honest with you. And that we would truly yield ourselves to the working of your work. Lord, help us to see the King. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name.